Dr. Nurse Podcast fam. Thanks for hanging out this episode. I am so excited to get into the conversation. But before we do, I wanted to ask a favor of my Dr. Nurse Podcast community. I am actually in the running for nurse.org's podcast host. I would really like to take the conversations that we have here at the Dr. Nurse Podcast and put them on a bigger platform and a bigger stage. So I am really hoping that you would take the time to click the link in the show notes and vote for me. If you like what I do here, if you are interested in that, then consider voting. Voting ends November the 13th. So we have a little bit of time. And I was hoping that by the end of the week, you guys would cast your vote for me. You would click the link, find my name, and just submit a vote in favor of me hosting their podcast. Again, there are 70 nurses competing for this position, and they're only taking the top 10. And I am not in the top 10 as of yet. So it would mean a lot to me to vote for me and to get me in the one of those spots. I would appreciate your support so much. Enjoy the episode. Dr. Nurse Podcast fam, welcome to another episode of the Dr. Nurse Podcast. Today on the podcast, I have Karina Hughes, Dr. Karina Hughes on the podcast, and I am so glad to talk to her. We have so much in common. I feel like we're kind of like copy-paste sisters from another mister. I'm so happy to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah? So let me talk a little bit about your history, kind of where you came from, what you're about, and then we'll dive into the questions. Karina Hughes got her BSN in 2015 and her DNP in 2020 from the University of Kentucky. While pursuing her degree, her DNP, she worked as a full-time ICU nurse in a level 3 trauma center, really perfecting her nursing skills. And after she finished her DNP, she then completed a fellowship at Mayo Clinic for Advanced Practice Providers in Urology. So she has a specialized training to really understand male and female urologic conditions. And she performs in her role cystoscopies, MRI fusion biopsies, and percutaneous tibial nerve stimulation. I guess I didn't know what the T stood for. So yeah, so she does a lot of really cool stuff in urology, and she is so passionate about teaching others what she can do as a nurse practitioner in urology. She's very involved in this specialty, this medical specialty for nurse practitioners. And so crazy because we both work in urology. And so I've been dying to get her on the podcast so that we could just like geek out all things urology. So I'm so happy to have you on.
I know, this is fun. I love talking about urology with someone who also loves urology. It's pretty nice.
Yes. And then I also think it's so much fun that we're both biracial and we were totally geeking out about that. Like, we literally feel like we are like, you know, sisters, like both biracial, both in urology, both nurse practitioners, both DNPs. Like, come on. This is just so great. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in urology and kind of how you've been able to kind of carve this niche for yourself, your career.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for the synopsis of the career. I'll just add in some little things I did in between that kind of flourished my love for urology as I moved forward throughout my transition. So within my BSN at the University of Kentucky, I had the opportunity to be a sexual health educator. So within my nursing career, I was able to give like condom demonstrations, talk about safer sex. Like on Valentine's Day, I remember rolling around on a golf cart, like passing out condoms to college students, you know, like so fun where college students are like, oh my gosh, you know, cervical cancer awareness, all the things. And then throughout that, I was able to like help teach at middle schools for high risk females and like about their bodies. And we would make like candy vulvas for them to know their anatomy, you know, just like diving into things that I love. Yeah. Or like grew to kind of love. I always wanted to be a midwife. So I was always about like sex education, like women's health, never really dive into men's health as much as an interest. Moving forward, I had an opportunity to do like an externship at Mayo Clinic. So that was my intro into Mayo, into knowing like the Mayo way. So like key mark that, and then pursued ICU which was out of, which so different than my track that nothing I didn't, I never wanted to do like ICU, but I was in the ICU for about 6 years. Wow. And then throughout that, I was a clinical educator. So that education portion, which I just have always loved and continue to like have a passion for. And then during my DNP, which I was doing that full time while working full time, I wanted to shadow in urology. I was like, oh, urology, you know, learned a little bit about it in school. And I'm like, what's that about? Like sexual health? Say it again.
Can I toss out some condoms? Say it again.
So I shadowed some urology APPs and even some like pediatric urology APPs and found that, man, that can be really fulfilling. Like this sounds like something I want to do. And I kind of lean on the type A/B aspect of things. And I knew I wanted to, there were a lot of subspecialties in urology and I wanted to know a little bit of every one of those. So I looked up Google search. Fellowships? APP urology. And from that, that is where I found that there were at that time, maybe like 5 to 6 APP urology fellowships. And not only that, but I also applied to some community health, like community APP fellowships, because I wanted to like be the best I can be. And not that you have to be like, you have to pursue APP fellowship to be the best you can be. But knowing how I am, I like to know a little bit of everything before I dive into it. And from that, I had a lot of interviews and Mayo Clinic was always at the top just because I had that introduction into Mayo and I knew it's just a great place to be. And fortunately, I was accepted for that opportunity and it was a whirlwind. Talk about like another year of school. After 8 years of schooling, another year, you know, and kind of that's something that flourished, that helped me flourish and had like grounded roots from that. It was a great starting point for me. Moving forward to urology APP.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So again, like that community health, kind of working with sexual health, kind of got your wheels turning, spending a little bit of time in the ICU, doing that clinical education piece, kind of helped put together these puzzle pieces and created this foundation or groundwork for you to kind of figure out like what kind of pulls on all these little different heartstrings that I have that then I could put together and then work at the top of my scope of my license. And I just think it's really neat how the kind of the tapestries have woven together for you to create something that you can be very passionate about, naturally drawn to, and then just be super good at and very impressive from a clinical standpoint. I just think it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And so what exactly do you do in your urology job? Because some, you know, a nurse practitioner could be listening and she's like, okay, I've never like had any interest in urology. Every time I say urology, they always go neurology. I'm like, no, the other bone, the other bone men think with, not the head bone, the other bone. And then they're like, oh, I see. And I'm like, urology. And so they never quite understand me. So again, for one that's listening, tell me a little bit about what you do day in and day out at your job.
Okay. So just a little background about my department, because every department's a little bit different, right? So I'm in an academic practice where we have residents, APP fellows, a large APP group. And within our urology department, there are various subspecialties. So we have like reconstructive urology, oncology, right? So a little bit of everything in one department where I can just go knock on someone's door and ask questions. But for what I am in right now is something more general urology. So like stones, BPH, lower urinary tract things, also do some urogynecology. And I have a procedural calendar. So my, I currently work 4/10s. Love that. Yes, and my calendar, I'm either on a personal calendar, I work in a collaborative calendar with a surgeon, or in the morning or in the afternoon, I can just have an all day procedural calendar. And those procedures can range from the PTNS, the fusion biopsies in clinic with like a local anesthetic, or doing cystos all day, you know, so it definitely can range. And that variance of every day being a little bit different is something fueling, you know, I don't feel burned out. I mean, I'm on year 3 just within the urology APP career. And it's definitely something I'm still learning every day. And just really enjoy that calendar. I can never tell someone like, oh, tomorrow I'm doing this. You know, it's definitely every day is a little bit different. And I really appreciate that because I know not every practice has that capability or that APP support.
Yeah.
And I like that as well, because that was one of the things that I found was like burning me out, especially with certain jobs, is just doing the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. And what I love about my urology practice as well is that, like, you're right, you do see somebody for like a bladder cancer, and then you might go and see something like, I'm having trouble peeing. And then you go mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, we need a scope. Can somebody get in there and do a cystoscopy? Or we need a prostate biopsy. Can you get in there and do a prostate biopsy? And you mm-hmm. just are trying on different hats. You're trying on different things, and it's never mundane. It's never the same thing. And it's definitely something for someone that has that mindset and they like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I found that that just keeps me interested in what I'm doing. And if I do the same thing, see the same thing every day, I just feel super burned out. So it is something very nice to think about if you're wanting something that might be a little bit more dynamic. You don't want the same humdrum every single day type of work. Urology is definitely something to check out and to consider, because again, like you said, it's so nice to just be able to go, all right, I don't know what I'm doing today. I just walk in and see whatever's there and figure it out. And it's just right. really kind of cool.
And I think an important thing to be aware of is that you do not have to be perfect. You will see a variety of cases, but don't feel like you have to know everything. I think that's something within urology that can be a little bit daunting, is feeling like you have to know everything about every subspecialty. You know, like, you don't have to know the exact guideline for urethral stricture. You know where the guidelines are, know the resources. But I think that's one thing in urology is to be aware of, is that there's a lot of different subspecialties to be mindful of that you may see, especially if you're in private practice. And I think that, and that can be exciting, but at the same time, being a new APP in their early career, that can be a lot, you know, and that's definitely why I pursued the fellowship. But if not that, then have APP support and know that that department has a lot of support around you to help and cultivate you and help you grow and flourish and be comfortable taking care of those patients.
Yeah, that's super good. And I agree with you, being able to then reach out to the attending that spent eight, you know, or in this case, like 4, 5, 6, 7 years studying in his fellowship and his residency, that's really, really good at
his or her.
Yes, exactly. Being able to, you know, talk about reconstructive surgeries, or the guy that specialized in stones, or the female that's really good at, you know, whichever, she might be really good at urogyn. And so knowing where to go for your resources is something that I found also in urology. You don't have to know it all. Just know that you want to be someplace where they support you for sure. Cause it's definitely very, very specialized. Mm-hmm. You would never think that there was so much to know about something. And again, I'm always learning. Every day I learn something when I go to work, and it's mm-hmm. never the same. It's always something new. And you always walk away and I'm like, I had no idea that about this simple little thing. And so it's mm-hmm. really, really neat. And so what else are you working on outside of, you know, being a urologic nurse practitioner?
So something I found a lot of fulfillment, a few things. So I am very active within my department. I have like a diversity leadership role. I'm a part of some committees within my department. I really appreciate the opportunity to hold those roles within my department as an APP. Outside of that, I love being a part of the social media aspect, whether it's Twitter, Instagram. It's kind of like me being a clinical instructor, but kind of just on my Instagram of sharing my knowledge within urology to those that are in like primary care or have an interest in urology. Outside of that, something I'm interested in is maybe cultivating or creating a resource for those that are earlier in their career for it as an APP. There are a lot of resources. There are so many various different types of resources, whether it's like videos, readings, guidelines that are like 10 pages long, you know, that it's nice just to have a resource just for new APPs, you know, and AUA does have something to support that. But from a different standpoint, I'd be interested in creating something within that.
So yeah,
that's where I am right now.
That's really cool. And again, like, our head and what we know up here, if we can translate it and put it in a way that can save people time, and save mm-hmm. people from having to go, again, like you said, reading 10 pages of clinical guidelines, reading all this, or just the experience part that you've just spent a lot of time and energy in already, mm-hmm. that you can save people time, that's something you can profit off of and definitely make your own and be super helpful. And I just think that's really, really good. And so being an APP in urology, I heard you say you work four tens, which immediately sparks in my mind work-life balance, because that's something that's so important. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so tell me a little bit about how you're cultivating it, like work-life balance with this career.
So over time, this is something that did not come easy at first. Being a nursing student, grad student, working full-time in the ICU, where was work-life balance? I don't know where it was. You know, I was just headstrong, had this goal in mind, and I didn't stop. Right now where I'm at, I believe in, you have three cups. You have your spiritual, your mental, and your physical cups. And like, if those are not filled, it's hard to pour into other things, whether it's people or different opportunities. And I'm definitely keeping my cups filled. Okay. So the 410 is an opportunity that was piloted recently within my department, and is something that after that pilot, it's going to continue on, because it has brought a lot of more fulfillment kind of in my career and just my own day to day, whether I want to go by the river, go fishing, or like go read a book, you know. So that's definitely something that has taken time to not come easy at first, but it's definitely here now. And I'm so thankful for that. Will that change in the future? It may, but hopefully I can always reflect back on keeping those three cups full, because anytime I feel off balance, that's what I reflect on.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it may change. I mean, those things, like you said, that for right now, this is what you're doing. And, you know, I look at the career as kind of like dials, and you can just dial up and dial down different things, and it might change for you. Your life will change. Things will happen. That I liked in this one book it's called The Psychology of Money, is that you think that you know yourself, just don't know what it's going to look like. But it's such a blessing that you have a career and you've got the knowledge base to be able to market yourself really well. I just think that the fellowship is such a neat aspect to your career, and something that I would have loved to have known about, because I think it does make you very marketable. It does make you kind of give you a little bit in your toolbox to go like, I know what I'm doing. I'm very accomplished, and I'm also very well educated on what to do. And so it should be able to afford you more opportunities to be able to say, and I'm a good worker, I have a good work ethic, and I only want to do part-time, or I only want to do these days, or I want to do these things with my career. And you can kind of tailor make it, because once you have the educational part and you've got the experience and you've got the proficiency, then I think that just like physicians have the opportunity to then say like, listen, these are the things that I enjoy doing, and so I just want to continue doing these things. I think it'll afford you more opportunities, and I just can't wait to see what you're going to do with it. I think it's going to be really, really neat.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you, me too.
And as far as one of the things I talk about a lot on my podcast is mentorship. And I know, I think the fellowship aspect, did that provide you a lot of opportunities for mentorship and being able then to mentor?
Man, I hate to stop a great conversation, but I have to tell you guys about what's going on at successnps.com. It's Jackie and I's newly launched SuccessNP website that has access to all of our clinical booklets. We were able to create a fabulous resource for nurse practitioner students to use during their clinical rotation. What we noticed was that there was something missing, that nurse practitioner students would go to clinicals, and by the time that they would finally get up and running, the clinical rotation would be over. So what we thought was, could we create a shortcut? Could we create a hack that would help them get the most out of their clinical experience? My best friend Jackie and I created these booklets, and we have gotten 5-star rave reviews from so many nurse practitioner students that have been using our booklets and feel like it's made a difference in their clinical journey. So I invite you to click the link in the show notes, check it out, see what other things we have at our shop. We've got really cute nurse practitioner gear. We have some digital planners. We've got a lot of great resources to help you beautify your nursing journey. There's just not a lot of stuff for nurse practitioners, and we want to feel special too. So check out our shop, see if there's anything there that you might like. Again, any support that you throw towards the shop is support that you put towards the podcast. So guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with me. I hope you're enjoying the conversation, and let's get back to it.
Absolutely. I, throughout my nursing career, whether, you know, again, through undergrad and grad school, I have always leaned towards those that I wanted to be like. whether it's like I was a research intern and I leaned towards someone that, man, she is really thriving in her research. And I've always gravitated towards those that I wanted to be like, you know, I wanted to grasp the skill that they have and kind of move that forward with me. The fellowship, definitely being surrounded by 14 plus now 20 plus APPs, brought on a lot of opportunity for mentorship, not only through the learning aspect in the clinical world of learning the different subspecialties, but also just how to be the best APP you can within our department, within our clinical role, or the procedural role, and even like a professional networking aspect. But definitely working around APPs that have a fire underneath them, it brings a fire underneath me where, yes, now, like, I'm always looking for an opportunity, whether it's presenting somewhere or being a part of a committee to, like, learn and cultivate something. So surrounding yourself with that network, and again, the mentors who will help you get there, has been great. And absolutely, the fellowship has granted that. And moving forward, the fellows that come through our fellowship, I want them to know the same resources. I want them to be able to have those same opportunities. I'm like whispering in their ear, beware of this conference, you know? So that's something that was given to me throughout my fellowship. And for any fellow that comes throughout our department, that's something that I share the info,
yeah. Share the love. One of the things I was thinking too, is that I remember reading somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, so you can double check me, but I think that there is going to be a very big shortage of urologic surgeons. They're not making enough for how fast they're retiring. And so one of the things that, again, this area of medicine, nurse practitioners need to be checking out, because we need to fill in the gaps. There's only so many surgeons. Mm-hmm. And if they can train us up and the other things that they, you know, are not necessarily their super specialized areas. I mean, we're never going to be able to do nephrectomies, right? Like, that's just not something that we're going to be able to do. As first assist in the OR, sure, we can help them, but we're never going to be the chief surgeon. And I don't want to be like, I don't want that responsibility. I'm glad you like doing that. I'm not into that, but I'm okay to help you bedside. And I'm okay doing, you know, prostate biopsies and doing different procedures and fulgurations in clinic and all the different things that I do at my job that I love. And I think that that's fine. But I definitely think that we need to be thinking about this specialty more, because of the fact that there's going to be a very big shortage of surgeons, and they can only do so much. There's only so much they can do. And they really need the nurse practitioners and the ones that they are able to train up and get these procedures in and be proficient in. They need us doing these things, because there's just not enough of them. And yeah, working in tandem with the urologic surgeon, I'm telling you, they're just some of the most wonderful people. And they're just, again, for being surgeons, everyone has like this line of like, oh, it's a surgeon. And I'm like, I don't know, you can come hang out with the urologic surgeons, because they are so approachable. They're so kind. They're just so great. And so
my mentors too, you know,
what was that?
There's some of my mentors too. And what you were referencing is the AUA put out a white paper about APPs and kind of the transition with the shortage of physicians within urology. So that it is something true, and that's something that can be looked up, you know, in reference. Yeah. And that is why some of these fellowships, you can reference their site that they'll quote that white paper. These fellowships are being developed also because of that. So more APPs can be efficient within that field. So you're exactly right. And I hope that every urology APP, whether they're about to start their career or they're within it, knows that they can be utilized in such a way, not just like admin, filling out prescriptions, but be aware of how you can be utilized. And if you're not being utilized in that way, be the one to step up and speak with leadership and like create that pathway. And if you need help, always welcome to reach out to me. I'm sure you have an open line we can be communicated with, but I think it takes first just being aware of the opportunity. Whenever I first started in urology, I did not think I would be doing MRI fusion prostate biopsies. No.
Yeah.
Or like, what is that? You know, like I wasn't aware of that, but it's just nice to kind of explore different podcasts, different resources, being aware of that, all you can do, because you can do it. And if you're scared of doing it, then that means there's room for opportunity and growth, because nothing is ever easy, right? It's always hard in the beginning.
Come on, girl. You're saying my words, you're using my speeches, because I agree with you 100% that if you're scared,
check it out. That's probably a sign like you need to go check it out. Because again, like you're saying, working at the top of our scope, the more of us that do that, the more of us that push that envelope, the more opportunities the other ones are going to have. And when you show yourself to be proficient and that you are working hard and you're going to be dedicated and you're going to be smart, and you're going to be careful, then again, they're going to feel more, they're going to have that. I mean, these my attendings where I work, they're just like, all right, Sandra, you've been doing this long enough. You know what to do. Like, go ahead. Like, I trust you. And so you're just like, all right, well, I'm going to call you in here if things get a little hairy. They're like, all right, no worries. And so you have that relationship and you create that understanding between you and the attendings and you make sure that you're, you know, practicing safely, but also for the benefit of the patient. I mean, patients can't get in to get things treated in a timely manner. So it just, it's, and as much as the people are like, oh, you know, you're just wanting to, you're doing the scope reach so that there's some ego involved. It's like, actually, no, like this is for the patients to be able to get care that would take a surgeon who's all by himself. And he's got so much that he needs to do, bigger cases, things that, you know, are very, you know, are things that are outside of our scope. If you can get a nurse practitioner that can do these things proficiently, you can take care of people sooner and they're not having to wait longer with a bladder cancer that's just been sitting there for 6 months because they can't get in to see a nurse practitioner or they can't get in to see a physician to do their scope. And you saw an NP who was able to find it, get you on the OR schedule and do the things that you need to do to move this along. It's not scope reach. It's called using and taking the vital resources, which are the surgeons, urologic surgeons, and putting them where they're most needed. And then us taking that other burden and kind of helping carry the weight. And so, I think it's, again, guys, listen to what we're saying. Like, if you are working urology, you are more than just paperwork. You are more than just seeing patients. Like, you can do so many neat things safely and perfectly well and just as good. And maybe not even, you know, I say that just as good because my attendings will tell me, like, Sandra's done more than I've done of prostate biopsies in the last year, like, because I did do more than they were doing at the time. And it doesn't make that I'm better. It just means that I've spent more time in it. And so they would tell me, like, Sandra, can you come down to the OR and do this? Because the resident doesn't know and I don't know how to. And so I would go down there and help them. And the residents leave after 5 years. They're gone after 5 years. And then the nurse practitioners and the PAs, they're still there. And they're the ones that are, you know, pulling in and teaching the residents. And it just creates such a great symbiotic relationship. Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up, girl, because your computer is on the fritz. He's ready to go home. Take it out. Okay.
To add one thing to that.
Please.
What you were talking about, that's what led to our 2020 APP-led prostate biopsy clinic, where that's where we brought in, where we have three APPs now that are doing like the transperineal MRI fusion prostate biopsies and are to reduce like diagnostic delays. We were able to improve access 100% when we're like reflecting back kind of on years prior. And we can get people in same day, you know, like we can see someone, I mean, the MRI, you're going to need to have that. But if you have your MRI and your PSA and maybe not on an anticoagulant, you know,
we can
get people in the same day for prostate biopsy because we have a calendar approach like that. And because they've granted the APPs within our facility and within our state, like we're able to do that and they're utilizing us for that, you know, and it helps the patients, the access, you know, and just overall, because that's what it's about. It's not about our ego or us. It's about what we're doing for these patients and moving things forward to make things easier for them.
I agree with you 100% that like our abilities, again, I was nervous when I started doing them. I was looking at ultrasounds, just going like, I cannot even, this looks like a blob. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't read this at all, to where now I look at them and I'm like, oh yeah, look, there's a calcification there. All right. So that's going to completely mess up the gain on the ultrasound tech. It's going to throw some like huge beam. And now you're going to be in like, I've done them where the prostate is so big. I'm like, I'm just taking a tiny, tiny super fraction. You need a saturation, or like, we do need an MRI and figure out what's going on and all the different things. And again, just being in that world and being able to process and be a part of it. It's just so neat. And it's so much of something that I did not ever think I could do with my nursing degree. And then there's the whole next level of stepping into the OR and working first assist, which those nurse practitioners make incredible salaries. They have such incredible working relationships with their surgeons. One of the nurse practitioners, she was a part of a huge academic center, and I've been, you know, informed by the other nurse practitioners that were working in her group that she left to go work in a very big huge facility and she was making almost $200,000 a year. And I was like, what? And that was what she was bringing in because she was so specialized in being able to work bedside and do what she was able to do. And I was like, oh my goodness, the career path that I've chosen has created, I think, some hindrance in me being able to do those things because of just the time. I just don't have the time. But if that's a nurse practitioner, that's like, wait, what? I didn't even know that that's something that I could do. It's like, no, you could seriously be like the right-hand man to a surgeon and just be there at the bedside doing things that you're like, I can't believe I'm a part of this. I can't believe I'm getting to do these really neat things.
Absolutely. You just got to have the want and the passion for it.
Yeah. And the drive to just go get it. I just think it's so cool. So for a new nurse starting off in her career, what would you tell her if you could go back and talk to Karina, you know, baby nurse Karina, and you could tell her like, hold on to this little piece of information, my sweet friend, what would you tell her?
Don't believe the lies. I feel like imposter syndrome is something very real throughout the journey, it being new within every slow transition. So I would more so say, just don't believe kind of what your mind is telling you that you're not capable or you cannot do this. Cause I feel like our minds are always, when we're in a new environment, saying, are you sure? You know, lots of questions on the shoulder, and just dust that off. That's kind of the advice I would say throughout the journey, because it's just very easy to let imposter syndrome get in the way.
Yeah, I like that. That's really, really good. Again, like, especially in urology, when there's so much, it's particularly easy to feel a level of imposter syndrome. And I also feel like the more I learn in urology, the less I know.
There's always more and more.
Because there's all the stuff I don't know. And then the fact that I don't know stuff, I'm like, okay, I know I don't know this, but like, I do know all of this. So like, is this the part that I don't know? Is this okay? Is this relevant? And so those are the questions I take to my attendings now, because I'm like, is this too much? Am I thinking? He's like, yeah, you're thinking too hard on it. It's fine. It's way simpler than that. I'm like, okay. Because that's what you end up doing. And you just have to just trust and believe in yourself. And I agree with what you're saying. And also have the humility to ask the questions, because I'm never too proud to just pretend like I know everything. And I just ask it. I'm like, all right, I might sound stupid, but I'm going to ask you this question and just run it by you. And I always go like, I'm just going to curbside this with you real quick. And he's like, all right, tell me what you're thinking. And he's like, I agree with you. I think that's a good thought process. You're like, all right, cool.
Just going to send a page or knock on a door.
Yeah.
Always do, every day.
Absolutely. And so I think it's good too, because they know that you're going to ask before you just do something reckless and you know, hurt a patient. So I think that's really great. Well, tell people where they can find you, where they can look you up, hear about all things Urogyn, and see kind of what you're about.
Yes. Well, you can find me on Twitter, Karina Hughes, Karina S. Hughes. But if you're more interested in...
Is it called X now, or is it still Twitter?
Oh.
I don't know.
I think the logo just changed.
Okay, the logo just changed, but it's still called Twitter. Okay, got it.
I don't know, question mark.
I know, right?
It also can be found at Uronurse Practitioner on Instagram. That is where you can find some of the education, my passions, what I'm doing on a day-to-day, whether it's clinic or I'm at a conference. And you can always reach out to me through there.
Yes. And that's where I found you. And I love watching everything that you're doing. You post like questions all the time. And I'm like, oh, I don't know the answer to this. And then I click it. And I'm like, oh man, I was wrong. And so I just love it. No, I love the content you put out. Rapid fire. Okay. So we're just going to go through some really fun questions and just finish up the episode, because your computer is done. What would you say is your favorite board game? Do you play board games?
Favorite board game? I like...
Operation.
I like Trouble.
Trouble. Yes, we love that game.
I loved life, how you can just move along life and put the little kids on there.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite too.
Love that. And then if you could be a character on a TV show, what TV show would it be? And what character?
I was thinking of Ginger, My So-Called Life.
I don't think I've ever seen that. No, but Ginger's your person.
I really appreciated just the teenage spirit of everything. It was kind of fun. That's what came to my mind first would be Ginger.
Okay, well, that's it. And then if you had to give somebody a book to read, what would it be?
I listen to a lot of audio. I drive 45 minutes to work, so I'd probably just give them a recommendation using the free Audible app from their library, because I'm very financially savvy. But the most recent one I read would be American Dirt. So again, I listen to a lot of books, so it's hard for me to name the titles, but
yeah.
American Dirt. Have you listened to that
or
read that?
No, I'll check it out though. What is it, like a novel, or is it like nonfiction?
It is fiction.
Okay.
It is about the journey of a woman in South America where her husband, I don't want to give away too much, but she has a journey with her child across the border, and it just talks about that transition into North America, into the U.S. And this month is Hispanic Heritage Month, so a little shout out towards that. But that book, it was really good, and it was very eye-opening. So that's the most recent thing that I have, again, listened to, because on my way to work, I listen to a lot of books and a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. So it's so funny. I have this theory, and you may have whatever beliefs about certain things or whatever, but I think genuinely, I think if we walked in other people's shoes, we would have a lot less judgment for people just in general. And so I love that perspective and always hearing about other people's lives, because I think sometimes it's a lot easier to judge people when you don't know their situations and you're not a part of their lives, and you can just look and say like, okay, this is how I feel about that. Yes. Until you're in it, and then you might have a different situation, or you might have different feelings, or you might expand as a person. So I definitely think that sounds very interesting. And yeah, just thank you for coming on and sharing your journey and what it is that you're doing and involved in at your career, Karina. And again, it's been a joy to chat with you.
No, I love this. Thank you so much. I'm glad that me and you have finally met.
I know.
Racial women that love urology. I mean, this was great.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, and don't forget to enjoy the journey of your career.
This is a Dr. No Podcast. Love you, Mama. Bye.
So that's a wrap. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And leave me a review if you like the show. I would love to get 5 stars. The Dr. Nurse Podcast is on the World Wide Web, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and TikTok. Subscribe to my newsletter for updates on new podcast episodes and other information to help you on your own nursing journey. You can always message me at thedrnursepodcast@gmail.com with any career professions that you are interested in hearing about. And just a friendly reminder, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only, and the information should not be used in substitute for professional care by a medical provider. The information in this podcast does not represent medical or professional advice or services.